This is a Federal News Network podcast.
The Pentagon wants to let contractors in on a little secret, perhaps lots of secrets. It's part of a plan to give contractors knowledge they might need to help tailor products more closely to defense requirements. Joining me with details of this gambit, Federal News Network's Scott Massioni. And Scott, this is a new try, I guess, at this innovation, or what is it the Pentagon's doing here?
Yeah, this is something that the Pentagon's been piloting for a couple of years now, but it's finally establishing a permanent program. What it's going to do is let some trusted companies in on the critical military information that the Defense Department thinks they will need to help build systems. The reason they're doing this is because there's really been a return to great power competition, and DoD needs to strengthen its engagement with the industrial base to create these more advanced weapons and create research that might go into more advanced weapons. DoD put out a memo this past week saying that they're going to be giving access to these special access programs. And there's a corporate program within this that will give them really an opportunity to see some of the classified and more than classified information that might help them navigate their way through some of this research and some of these requirements.
Because don't traditionally some of the big contractors involved on major programs already have a lot of Pentagon secrets? Like, for example, the company developing the new bomber has got lots of secrets already. It has to, because it's building the thing. So how does this advance what they're already doing with contractors on critical programs?
What this does is it preempts that sort of situation. So with the bomber, you already have that information once you've already gotten the contract and you're kind of working on that sort of information. With this, if you're a company that's already been working with DoD and you're trusted, then you might get some of the secrets that they really haven't told anyone yet, or they, you know, it's not necessarily on contract, but it's something that they might want to go on to contract in the future. So basically they're just saying, here's something we might need. Can you figure out this problem for us? And that's sort of the issue.
And it's probably not tactical or troop movement type of information, but more requirements they need for platforms in the future.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what it's going to be. You know, things maybe relating to hypersonics or what might be the next hypersonic. And, you know, one of the important things to know about this pilot program is that in order to participate in it, a corporation has to have a contract with DoD for 15 or more special access programs. So they're not just giving out this thing like it's a free access card. They really have to, be entrenched within the defense industrial base to be able to participate and get these sorts of, secrets.
And do we know any companies or any particular projects where this has been applied yet?
Not at this point. And the thing is that a lot of these special access projects have to do with really the black budget, which we don't really have any access to. It's very opaque. Also a lot of special operations sorts of things. So it's very unlikely that we'll get, any kind of idea who's in there. But I'm sure if you took a few guesses as to, the main contractors that work with the Defense Department a lot, considering you have to have 15 contracts in these special access areas, you can probably think of a few that might be able to make it in there.
And is this a 2-star type of program, 3-star, 4-star?
They've created their own office for this, so I think it's going to be something that is within the Pentagon. They have a Air Force Major General right now who's in charge of it, and they believe that really it's an important effort to sustain the future is what they've said.
We're speaking with Federal News Network's Scott Massioni, and also in this week's Reporter's Notebook for DoD, you have some news on the transition to the military services hospitals over to the Defense Health Agency. What's going on there?
That's right. Well, if you remember in the beginning of 2020, once the whole pandemic started going, the DHA slowed down their transition process. Originally, the DHA was supposed to assume responsibility from the military services of hospitals, clinics, military treatment facilities, all that sort of stuff. They put a pause on it and tried to think it over a bit. During that time, the military service leaders put out a letter saying that they were really concerned about DHA taking over, especially in this COVID environment. So during this whole time, the military health system took a look at their lessons learned, the sort of things that they're going to need for this transition. And now that the COVID vaccine is out, they've decided in 2021, they will push ahead and continue to take responsibility for those military treatment facilities. And, what that really is going to do is centralize the military health system. It's also going to take a lot of changes for the military family members and retirees. There's going to be about 200,000 that will not be able to go to MTFs anymore and will be going into private areas and have TRICARE take care of them.
Right. I guess they don't want to tie up military hospitals with routine types of ailments that can be done sometimes more efficiently, I guess, in the private sector or in a different network.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. They're trying to resize it and kind of make this military health system something that is manageable when it comes to treating people, but also manageable when it comes to cost effectiveness and really just with DHA being in control. So in some areas, you have family members coming onto base when they didn't before for these military treatment facilities to get the help that they need. And then in other areas, maybe a more rural area or a more urban area, depending on, you know, whatever circumstance they have and how much capability they have, they will go outside to seek health. So it's sort of a rebalance sort of thing. But as we're seeing, this rebalance is leaving 200,000 without the care that they had before with on base.
And this all happens, this restart of the transfer to the Defense Health Agency, as the COVID-19 vaccines are coming online. Is there any effect on the ability of DOD to get the vaccines out to the people that they need to get them out to? Or does the transition have no effect, or does it maybe confuse things?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that they were worried about was that a lot of the military marketplaces or the marketplaces that they thought people would go out into for the private sector help that they need as they were rebalancing might not have the capability or capacity that they would need for COVID-19, considering, you know, the more hospital beds are being taken up and all that sort of stuff. Now that things are quote unquote calming down, not exactly calming down, but, you know, they've looked at this rebalance and they think they can still pull it off. But, you know, however, Congress has taken this into account. They've taken everything with a grain of salt. You know, originally they pushed this deadline to 2022 when everything was supposed to happen. It was originally supposed to be in the 2020-2021 timeframe. Now, in the most recent Defense Authorization Act, they said, military leaders, we hear your concerns. We're going to push this out to 2025, but this is it. You know, you're creating some turf wars here. You're causing some issues. You're paralyzing decision making. We need to create a healthcare system that does not stifle innovation, that is more centralized, all that sort of stuff. So they expect DHA to continue this sort of effort.
All right. So they've had about a year long pause almost. What is the deadline or what is their timeline for getting the transfer done so that they can have a unified health system and get on with what they want to do with it?
Right. Well, yeah, at this point, it's 2025, and they haven't really put any sort of timeline out. You know, obviously, this transfer is not going to be top of mind as they're still trying to work out these vaccinations and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, speaking of those vaccinations, right now, the timetable for that is to get, you know, top health officials and health frontline workers vaccinated, and then national security personnel, top national security personnel, and then everyone else. Thing about the military is it's very easy to vaccinate because you can tell people what to do with their bodies much easier than you can with civilians. So, you know, that's something that they should be able to roll out pretty easily within the military compared to the civilian sector.
And you've been following the COVID case count in the military. Is there any recent development, and is it expanding, or are they getting control over the COVID cases?
So much like the rest of the nation, the military is seeing a pretty big explosion in COVID cases. The current COVID cases within the military, as service members only, is right now at 120,000 members have been diagnosed, and 76,000, almost 77,000 have recovered. So that leaves a good 50,000 that are currently infected with the disease.
Federal News Network, Scott Mossioni, thanks for that update.
Thank you.
Check out his DoD Reporter's Notebook now online at federalnewsnetwork.com.